We're trying to bring some good cheer into what has been an immensely difficult year. And so we at Martyrs have produced a series of programmes, one each evening, stretching from now until Boxing Day. They'll be going out at 7 o'clock each evening, and you can find them on the Martyrs page on both Facebook, Martyrs Memorial Church, and YouTube, Martyrs Memorial Productions. We're conscious that the eyes of many, if only partially, superficially, momentarily even, may turn to the first coming of our Saviour into this world. And so we wish to bring you a set of online services that will help us all get to him. We'll have solos, other musical items, the stories behind some of our most famous carols will be told, appropriately themed messages will be given, there'll be Bible readings, children's stories, and yes, a little quiz question will pop up each night, which means something else. Woody will be back for Christmas. Please keep tuning in. Tell your friends too, and have a most blessed Christmas.
Chapter 1, verse 31. This is the message that the angel Gabriel gave to the Virgin Mary. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen.
Hi, boys and girls. I wonder, do you know what this is? Of course you do. It's a candy cane. When I look at the candy cane, I see two things. Two things jump out at me. First, the shape of the candy cane, and second, the colour. Going back to the shape, this reminds me of the shepherd's crook. And the shepherd would be able to take this out, and if the sheep were wandering off, he'd be able to gently just draw them back to the fold with the other sheep. And this reminds me of the Lord Jesus. And in the Bible, it tells us that the Lord is the good shepherd, and he wants us to be drawn into his fold. Secondly, the colours. The white reminds us of the Lord Jesus and his purity, his sinlessness. He is the sinless Son of God. And secondly, the red colour reminds me of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary, that we, as sinners, may have our sins forgiven. And boys and girls, over this Christmas period, if you're taking a candy cane to hang it on your Christmas tree or to eat it, you remember about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for you and for me. And if you don't know him as your good shepherd, maybe today you'll turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
In Luke chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." There are many wonderful carols sung at Christmas, but one of my favourites was written by Cecil Frances Alexander. She was born in Dublin in April 1818. Even as a child, she busied herself writing poetry in her school's journal. After she married the Reverend William Alexander, she showed her concern for disadvantaged people by travelling many miles each day to visit the sick and the poor, providing food, warm clothes and medical supplies. She and her sister founded a school for the deaf. She wrote approximately 400 hymns. She composed poetry which explained in a memorable way the love of her Christian faith. In 1848 she published hymns for little children, amongst which are All Things Bright and Beautiful, There is a Green Hill Far Away, and of course the carol Once in Royal David's City, which was originally written as a poem. An English organist called Henry John Gauntlett discovered the poem and set it to music, creating the carol we know today. In October 1867, her husband was made Bishop of Derry and Raphoe. She died on the 12th of October 1895 and was buried in the Hillside Cemetery in Londonderry, the city which inspired There is a Green Hill Far Away. Like many traditional Victorian carols, Once in a Royal David City takes the birth of Jesus as its subject, and it focuses on the humble, lowly beginnings of the Saviour, born in a cattle shed or stable. Mrs. Alexander draws a link between Jesus' birth and humans everywhere. It says he was little, weak and helpless. Tears and smiles like us he knew. The carol shows us that the Lord understands our human sufferings and struggles. He empathizes with us in all our difficulties. It shows us how his life is a pattern for each one of us. The last two verses show us how at last, with our faith in Jesus as our Saviour, we will meet him not in a lowly stable, but in heaven. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above, and he leads his children on to the place where he has gone.
The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, paints a beautiful picture of Christ's humiliation and exaltation when he says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Joshua Bell, the world-famous violinist, came out of the metro in Washington, D.C. and positioned himself against a wall beside a rubbish bin. He didn't stand out from the crowd. A youngish white man in jeans, a long-sleeved T-shirt and a Washington Nationals baseball cap. From a small case, he removed a violin. Placing the open case at his feet, he shrewdly threw in a few dollars and pocket change as seed money and began to play. For the next 45 minutes in the DC Metro on 12th of January 2007, Bell played Mozart and Schubert as over 1,000 people streamed by, most hardly taking notice. If they had paid attention, they might have recognised the young man for the world-renowned violinist he is, an awesome talent who has performed with almost all of the world's major orchestras and conductors. They also might have noted the violin he played. A rare Stradivarius made in 1713 and worth almost $4 million American dollars. His appearance as a street busker at the Washington DC Metro that day was all part of a curious experiment arranged by the Washington Post. They said an experiment in context, perception, and priorities, as well as an unblinking assessment of public taste. In a banal setting, at an inconvenient time, would beauty shine through? It didn't. A world-class violinist playing the best of music on a $4 million instrument? But only one person out of the 1,097 people who streamed past Joshua Bell that day recognised him. Few stopped even to listen. However, just 3 days earlier, the same Joshua Bell sold out Boston Symphony Hall, with ordinary seats then going for $100 apiece. But in the Washington subway, Bell garnered about $32 from the 27 people who stopped long enough to give a donation. I remember hearing an old song, a kind of quirky gospel piece that asked the question, would they know him in Shreveport today? Shreveport, Louisiana, in the deep south of the United States, is the third largest city in the state of Louisiana and the 99th largest city in the United States. I'm not sure that the question should be, would they know Jesus there? In the sense of, would they recognize him? I think it's more, would they want him? On the night Jesus was born, something spectacular took place. The plains of Bethlehem became the theatre for one of the most spectacular sound and light shows in human history. All heaven broke loose. The angels announced and celebrated the birth of the Saviour of men, but this world didn't care. I mean, what interest does the Roman Emperor Augustus or Governor Cyrenius have in a pregnant teenager or in some wandering shepherds? Mary, Joseph and the rest, these people are so incredibly small on this world stage compared to those rulers. And yet the Bible declares that whether these rich and powerful leaders care or not, whether they even notice or not, the events Luke describes in detail are going to change the whole world. It's an audacious claim when you think about it, that the birth of a baby to an unwed teen in the middle of the squalor of a backwater town could possibly matter. And yet there, in a nutshell, is the promise and mystery of the gospel, that God shows up where we least expect God to be and always shows up for us sinners. And he does for us what no other person or even institution is capable of doing. It's thought that the words of 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 form the basis of an early Christian hymn that expresses basic and vital truth. In fact, there are six little sentences in there that give a summary of the gospel. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The birth of God's Son, the Incarnation, is a deep mystery, for we can't fully understand how God could take on our humanity without giving up any of his deity. We can, however, understand that the Incarnation reveals God's infinite love and grace. He didn't leave us alone in our sin, but entered into the misery of this fallen world without becoming a sinner himself, and he did that in order to rescue us from eternal damnation. Oh, what a mystery I see, what marvellous design, that God should come as one of us, a son in David's line, flesh of our flesh, of woman born, our humanness he owns, and for a world of wickedness his guiltless blood atones. Sir Thomas Browne is famous for the saying, ice splits starwise. A tap of a pick at the right point and the fissures spread out in all directions and that snow block falls in two at the star. This special child is born, and history itself falls in two at the star. Whether you believe or don't, you date your letters, your checks, your income tax forms with a number representing how many years have gone by since this event happened. Christ Jesus has come into our world. He struck up the symphony of amazing grace, for he came to save sinners who were incapable of saving themselves. to offer his life as the sacrifice for sin, coming under not only the fury of man, but the judgment of God as he took our place on Calvary. He came to give forgiveness and life to those who turn from their sin and place their trust only in him. Several lines of the Gospel of John spell out an early reaction to his appearance. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. People didn't recognize Jesus when he came into this world, nor did they want him. Is it any different for people today? For you? Even at this Christmas time, there are plenty who are frantically pressing the eject button to get Christ out of Christmas. This time last year, Steve Caruso, writing for the New York Post, titled his opinion piece, "Christmas has become a bad word everyone is too afraid to say." On Wednesday, he said, I perused all of the seasonal shopping ads in the print editions of the New York Post, New York Times, Daily News and Wall Street Journal in hundreds of newspaper pages. 7 days before the year's biggest catalyst for shopping, there was just one measly instance of the word Christmas. In an ad from a jeweller, David Webb, wishing Times readers a very merry one. Meanwhile, words like holiday and season's greetings were as a abundant, he said, as Santa's elves. But why this neglect or ignoring or banishment of Christ? Think about it. Who is Christ? He is our Creator. Colossians 1, the verse 16. He is our Redeemer. Galatians 3, and the verse 13. He is the Word. As John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 express it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The real reason many in this culture don't want to keep Christ in Christmas is because they don't want to believe and obey the Word. This problem isn't new. It began away in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve rejected God's word and wanted to decide truth for themselves. Ever since the garden, this has been man's problem. Man wants to reject the word. Barbara Walters, American journalist and media personality, is typical of so many when several years ago she gave vent to her annoyance that a religious Christmas card had been sent to her from the White House with a Bible verse from the Old Testament printed inside. Does the way we live our lives say that we are part of this unholy amalgam to censor Christ out of Christmas? Or do we see in him our only hope of forgiveness of sins and our only source of abundant and eternal life? The question posed by the poet reaches into our heart. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Christ Jesus, God's eternal Son, who appeared in a cradle in Bethlehem as a babe in order that he could proceed to a cross for our salvation, he's the only way to heaven. As John 1 and 12 explains, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. At this Christmas time, I pray you'll consider Christ and that you'll do more than that, that you'll come to the Christ in faith and repentance, that Christ who came for you.
Laid down his sweet head, the storm.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for sending thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Saviour of sinners. May our minds be captivated by him, our hearts won by him, and may our souls be saved by him with an everlasting salvation. To our good and Jesus' glory. Amen. Many thanks for coming our way tonight. Your support is very much appreciated. By God's grace, may you make space for Christ in your Christmas this year. Anyone who wants some good gospel literature or a copy of God's Word, the Bible, along with pointers there that will help you trace out in it the greatest story ever told, simply send a little message by email or by text. We'd love to hear from you. The quiz question? How many candy canes were hanging from the fireplace as Heather told her children's story? So it's over to you. Please send your answers through to me through Facebook, that's the Martyrs one, or my own page, or by WhatsApp, and we'll feed these down Woody Way till tomorrow night.